This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Kathleen Brockway's new book has a grand title, Baltimore's Deaf Heritage, but it feels like a family album. Brockway has done both, given us an overview of a deaf community organizing and fighting for new rights, as well as an intimate profile of families who led that community. Baltimore's Deaf Heritage is primarily a picture book, a couple of pages of text, and more than 100 pages of photographs, with captions that take us through the story. Kathleen Brockway, an advocate for deaf rights, gathered these images from the families, deaf organizations, and the archives of the Maryland School for the Deaf, Gallaudet University, and other schools. Miss Brockway, who is deaf herself, is here in the studio with her interpreter, Carrie Quigley, whose voice you'll hear. When we spoke a couple weeks ago, we videotaped the interview and have posted that video on our website at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. So if you'd like to see the interpretation as well as hear it, you can go to our website. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Kathleen Brockway, what inspired you to organize this book?
Well, I began with research on George Dummy Leitner. I was going to give a presentation, and I found out that he was three generations of deaf and before and after. And I was totally shocked to see that there was more information that I never was aware of. And the community needed to share about that.
Okay, you've taken us immediately to George Dummy Leitner. What an interesting nickname. He was a professional baseball player, right?
Yes, he was. He was actually called Dummy because way back in the day, when there were deaf people, they called them Dummy back then. So his profession as a baseball player, he played preseason for the Orioles.
He was part of a group, as I understand from your book, that was drawn to James Sullivan Wells. You begin your book with James Sullivan Wells and his three daughters and his wife Helen coming to Baltimore in 1879. Why is the Wells family important to the deaf community in Baltimore?
When I was doing research on George Leitner, I found out that his wife, her father, James Wells, he began the deaf church that's here in Baltimore, and it's called Grace Deaf Mission.
I want to ask you about the schools. There were very few schools in the Baltimore area or in Maryland at that time teaching deaf students, especially very, very few options for black deaf students. And there were different approaches to teaching. I gather this was a split nationally, not just in Maryland. Sign language, or what you call an oral school, is that learning to read lips?
Yes. Oral means you read lips, and it's legal to use sign language in those schools. And it really restricts communication. That's a big issue. Now, James Wells, he taught at the Maryland School for the Deaf for colored youths. And that was back what it was called. And then it was in Overly, Baltimore. And first it was on Saratoga Street. And there were three schools back then. One was called Kendall. And that was in Washington, D.C. And that practiced the oral approach back then. The second one was Maryland School for the Deaf in Frederick, Maryland. And then the third one was Overly, and that was at the Maryland School for the Deaf Colored Youth. And then there was also an oral school that was in Baltimore, William Bear School. And less than, if you're under 5 years old, there was St. Francis Xavier School. Now, for the black deaf community, they did go to Kendall School in Washington, D.C. until they decided to segregate. So they transferred them to Overly. And they were allowed North Carolina, South Carolina, Maryland, you know, that surrounding areas were allowed to send their students to that school.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Kathleen Brockway, an advocate for the deaf, for deaf rights, about her new book, Baltimore's Deaf Heritage. Carrie Quigley is interpreting for us. You mentioned Grace Deaf Church, Grace Deaf Mission, and you mentioned the preschool that St. Francis Xavier Catholic Church in Baltimore County ran. Well, tell us a bit about what the role of some other institutional churches was for the Black community.
Well, originally, the Deaf Mission was with an Episcopal church. And James Wells, when he passed away, Daniel Moylan was a deaf man. He graduated from the Maryland School. He was very, very young. And he took over the church. And he was the lay leader for the church services. And Daniel, he was very, very important in starting that church and is still running
Daniel
their services today.
Daniel Moylan. We've spoken about some of the leaders in the deaf community. We've spoken more about men than women. I have the impression from the photographs, though, that women, that there were some women leaders. Tell us about one or two.
Yes. George Leitner's family, who I mentioned previously, they had leaders in their family. For example, there was Clara Wheeler McCall. And she led the music, the choir in the church, in sign language, of course. And she was very active in the deaf community. And George Leitner's daughter, Helen, not his wife, Helen, his daughter named Helen. And she was very, very active. She was a secretary for the National Association for the Deaf and the Maryland Association for the Deaf as well. And also, there was a husband and wife, the Blumenthals, both of them. They were very active in the Jewish community. And there were several more leaders. Also, there were two Black men that were very, very important but had not been recognized. And they took over when Daniel Moylan passed away. Jerome Horsey and Charles Waters.
Did things unfold differently for the deaf community around Baltimore or in Maryland than in other places?
Well, not totally different, but there are some differences. For example, this area in Baltimore is well known grassroots. You know, Washington, D.C. is not really grassroots. You know, so here, Baltimore and Washington, D.C., the kids and the deaf community, they're raised differently.
Raised differently in what ways?
Well, family values, status, you know, the relationship and how they stay together. Their signing is different.
There's a Baltimore accent in signing?
You know, so, and all states have different signs. Yeah, quote unquote, there is a Baltimore accent in signing. I was raised in many different states myself, so I grew up and I had to change my signing to fit the community where I was. And that was very hard. So when I researched this book, I understood about that totally because they were very different than the outside deaf community. And the 1900s, it's interesting because one person mentioned that where her best vacation was Baltimore because of the deaf community.
Well, I appreciate you walking us through it. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Kathleen Brockway wrote and organized Baltimore's Deaf Heritage, one of Arcadia Publishing's Images of America series. Carrie Quigley interpreted for us. Brandon Block was our videographer, and Alex Kennedy was our video editor. We have information about the book on our website. More of this interview and the video. That's all at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Coming up, Tom Hall and Mark Hyman on the O's. Stay with us on 88.1.